lots of stuff going on today, and I'm going to be in the very, very beginning of the Torah. I was reading both Rabbi Sacks and Rabbi Foreman talking about it,
and they both talked about the same thing. Foreman said, "You know, when I read these genealogies, my eyes tend to glaze over. And with your translation, it was not a near enough temptation to glaze over." What both of them said, and I completely agree, is you will very often find wonderful things in these genealogies. Most of you have been around long enough that you recognize that in the genealogy from Adam to Noah, you have the entire gospel. And there's all sorts of stuff like that going on in the genealogies. So a translation that sort of smooshes it all together and just gives you the numbers misses that. So anyway, both Sacks and Foreman were talking about the first part of the Torah portion, and both of them remarked on the unusual words that are used for counting. There are all sorts of words to count things, and the words here are unusual. In the beginning, it doesn't say count. I mean, your translations all say count. But what is actually in the Hebrew is lift up the head of everybody. And that is typically translated as count them. But that's a weird translation. The other one is pekudei, which is counted, listed, appointed. And Rabbi Foreman makes a big deal out of that because I spent hours yesterday trolling through the Hebrew. And I'm not a Hebrew speaker, so it was really painful. I'm not going to make you go through it. But the thing about it is, apparently both in Hebrew and in English, the word count can mean two different things. It can mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or it can mean you matter, which is to say you count. Both of those meanings are in both of the languages. So when it says count, and it counts everybody by name, so mine is from Numbers 120, Reuben. The people of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, by their clans, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names. Now, the number of names is not actually what the Hebrew says, but my translation does it, and I kind of like it. According to the number of names, head by head, every male from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go to war, those listed of the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. And again, the word listed there is pekudei, which means count or those who matter, if you will. And the point both Sacks and Foreman were making is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the religion that flows from him, Christianity and Judaism, God deals with individuals instead of masses. So when he takes them out of the land of Egypt and brings them to Sinai, he specifically says, all right, I want you to get everybody together. I want you to make this offer to them, and I want them to accept the offer. Exodus 19. So Moses says, all right. Then he goes down, he assembles all the people and says, all right, this is what he says. If you'll do this, this, and this, he'll be your God, you'll be his people, and so forth. Do you accept? And they said, yes, all that the Lord has said we will do. Moses trucks back up the mountain and says, they accept. God says, fine, get them all cleaned up because tomorrow I'm going to show up on the top of the mountain and I'm going to introduce myself personally to the entire nation. So the whole point here is individuals matter. And the fact that these people are listed by name, and we see the same thing when we do the census of the Levites. The Levites are enrolled by name. When we do the swap for the firstborn of all of Israel for the Levites, and we have a couple hundred spares, those people are all listed by name. It's not just come up with a couple hundred shekels worth of silver. It is go list these people by name and get 5 shekels per name. So the whole point here is that all of the isms today, communism, socialism, Nazism, whatever ism, treat people as interchangeable masses. In other words, All right, we got this mass of people. That one didn't work. Unplug him, put another one in, because they're just like eggs in a carton. The only people that really matter as individuals in all of those isms are the people who are running the show. Everybody else is interchangeable and expendable. That is not the case in God's economy. Everyone is known by name. And Yeshua says the same thing, by the way, in Luke chapter 12. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So Yeshua is affirming that God deals with individuals, just as this enumeration is emphasizing that God deals with individuals. Now, one of the things that Rabbi Sacks said, which I like, is, and he, of course, is a rabbinic Jew, he says Judaism is a religion of individuals, not of individualism. So what does he mean? Well, one of the things that you all, of course, remember and recognize from your history is the United States is the first nation, other than Israel, who explicitly recognizes the value of an individual. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and so forth. And at the end of the Constitution, what it says is all powers not specifically allocated to the government are reserved to the states or the people. So the whole idea of the founding here is we are talking about individuals, not masses of people. And that becomes important. Now, just like everything else that God does, we can screw it up. So the question then becomes, how does this go wrong? God has got a relationship with each of you. Christ has got a relation with each of you. You're important. The government says that you're important as individuals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can we mess this up? Because we can. We're really good at messing things up. One of the things about a community is a community is important, because in a community, you can do more than you can as an individual. It's obvious, but the point is communities are important. Groups of people are important, because to do lots of stuff, you need more than one of you. So when we have the census of Israel, it says, we have an army now of 600,000 men. Individuals. We have 600,000 individuals, but an army of 600,000 individuals, when it's going in accordance with competent leadership, can do massive things, which is to say, run everybody out of the land. So the spectrum then is, at one end, everything can go wrong with what I would call collectivism. And that's all the isms I just talked about. Socialism, communism, Nazism, fascism, whatever. That's collectivism, which is everybody is interchangeable. Then you have a community, which is a healthy thing. And then finally, at the other end of that spectrum, you have lone rangers, people who don't want to have anything to do with anybody. You're not just talking about normal introverts. I'm talking about people out on the fringe. Both of those extremes are not good. Getting rid of individualism by squashing everybody is not good. And individualism to the exclusion of everything else is not good either. You want to be somewhere in the middle. So, how do you decide? Well, turns out there are, again, a spectrum of standards. At one end of the spectrum is God and Scripture. I would gently suggest that that's authoritative, but we also can mess that up. The next one over is community standards. And lots of community standards are absolutely benign. And in fact, they're really useful. My favorite example is The community says it is illegal to drive 100 miles an hour down that road right there. That's a community standard. It's not in scripture anywhere. Nothing wrong with it. However, it can move because the other standard corresponding to the individual, the Lone Ranger I talked about, is what the Hebrews call the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil inclination. All of us are born with one. And another way to say it, instead of the evil inclination, if you don't like that, is self-interest. In other words, I want to do what I want to do under these circumstances, and I don't want to be told that I'm not supposed to do it. We all have that inner two-year-old, and that's what the Hebrews call the Yetzer Hara. Well, the Yetzer Hara, the inner two-year-old, keeps trying to influence the community standards so that the thing that the Yetzer Hara wants to do becomes an accepted community thing. And then we got all sorts of people doing the same thing. And I now feel very comfortable because everybody around me is doing this thing that I want to do, but God says, no, you shouldn't be doing that. There's a word for that, by the way, called idol worship. That's what idol worship is, where you have somebody, some group of people, who want to do something, whatever that something is, and they whip up a false religion that justifies it, and they move that religion into the community, and that then becomes the standard by which everybody behaves. That, in 25 words or less, is how idols get started. So God made you self-interested. He made the Yetzer Hara. It is not in itself necessarily evil, but it certainly can lead there. And what he'd give you on the other end is his word, which says, this is how you behave. And so when your Yetzer Hara, your inclination, wants to do something, and you look at the Word of God and it says, I shouldn't be doing that, well, then you tell yourself no. The problem is when you don't tell yourself no. And you keep going and you get a crowd around you, and that's when we have idol worship, that's when we have the various isms and all those things, which is community and individualism messed up. Remember I told you we can mess anything up. We're really good at it. That's the mechanism for how things get messed up. And we're in Ephesians on Tuesday night Bible study. And it turns out that there's a scripture in Ephesians that deals with that. I'll throw that one out while we're at it. Ephesians 5, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you, as is proper among saints. He's talking about the community now, your community standards. That's what he's talking about. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So what he's saying is, keep track of your community standards. And when this stuff that he has just listed, covetousness, sexual immorality, etc., gets started, you go and say, no, we don't do that here. Because if you let it get started, what it becomes is the community standard. And you then wind up to your hips in Babylonians eventually, because God finally decides you can't govern yourself. Now, the other thing to understand is just because the community standards have gone wonky, which they do, it happened in Israel over and over again, we have the biblical record, even the presence of God didn't prevent them from going wonky, and so you cannot evade individual responsibility. If you are in a culture that has gone pear-shaped, and you think, well, everybody else is doing it, therefore, I'm going to go along and get along, you cannot evade personal responsibility. I'll say that one more time. You cannot evade personal responsibility. Now, let me give you an example. After World War II, they had the Nuremberg trials. And the standard defense of the Nazis was, I was just doing what I was told. Didn't fly. It doesn't fly in scripture either. Let's go to Matthew. chapter 12, which is where we are today in our reading. I love the way God does that. You know, coincidence is not a kosher word, but what the heck. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, when? On the day of judgment? On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And the whole deal here is individual responsibility. So he's talking to Pharisees who have a system and a community set of standards, and they are behaving according to their community set of standards. That's what's going on at this part of the gospel. And Yeshua looks at him and says, sorry, A, your standards are wrong, and B, you are personally responsible for your behavior. You cannot pass it off on, I am just doing what the community says to do. It doesn't work. I'll close with my very favorite quote from John Wayne. Life is hard, but it's harder if you're stupid. Which is to say, stupidity is not a good survival strategy. So if you organize your community in a way that God says is pathological, I will gently suggest to you that that's stupid. And stupidity is a really bad survival strategy. Read a quote. Hey, I can't tell you the source. I just read it somewhere this week. And I won't quote it exactly, but it's close. Liberalism has always had ideas that don't work. And they used to be intellectually interesting. Now they're just crazy. The whole point is socialism, communism, evolution, all of those kinds of things are intellectually interesting ideas that don't work. Every time it's been tried, it doesn't work. Failure 100%. But at least there was some intellectual heft behind it as it didn't work. That's gone. It's just crazy now. And good thing about that is things are really clear. So the excuse of, well, I got fooled by vain philosophy, which Paul tells you not to do, at this point no longer flies. And as I say, organizing your society around something God hates, this is Pride Month. What does God say about pride? I don't like pride. God says so. So organizing your society around something like that is stupid.